very warm welcome to the spiritguides.co.uk network radio. This week we've got Kieran Webb, the Hypnotic Prophet.
If I may, just before we start, I'd like to read a little, a kind of a legal disclaimer, really, just before the programme starts. Is that okay?
That's absolutely fine.
Okay. Well, basically, due to recent changes in English law, I need to state that what I say should be considered to be for entertainment purposes only, that any psychic work attempted by me should be considered to be an experiment, and that no guarantee is offered or implied. Obviously, nothing that I say or do should be taken to mean that I'm advising anyone to either act or not act in any specific way. And finally, that my belief in the possibility of spirit communication and the survival of the soul is an integral part of my religion.
Just say a big warm welcome to Kieran. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much, Ian, and it's great to be here.
You're very welcome. It's been a while since we last spoke, actually, and I know that a lot's happened since last time. What I thought would be really good for this show is to sort of delve more into your latest video message, which is it's got a very poignant message there about how people can prepare themselves for what's potentially on the horizon. And I think there seems to be a lot of parallels with what other people are saying as well. And although I guess none of us know for sure what's going to happen, because, you know, perhaps not everything's set in stone, There does seem to be a feeling that something's on the cards, that it's about to change the way we think or the way we see our place in humanity, I guess, or maybe just a wake-up call, really, to help us awaken, really, from the dream.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's fine, yeah. So with that in mind, really, I think if we could just start off and give the listeners an insight into your message. Before we do that, the message, really, from what I see, is that you have this feeling of a big shock.
Yeah.
But although it's a big shock, it's more of a process we have to go through in order to come out the other side for something better.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, it's my sense is that the actions of humanity, I guess almost since time immemorial, and certainly in recent history, we see this on the news all of the time, we are mismanaging the climate. We're mismanaging the planet, and that is messing up the climate. We have a history constantly at being, and I'm talking, you know, obviously, generalizing this out to the population as a whole, but generally speaking, humanity has a history of being at each other's throats, you know, constantly. I can't remember how many wars there are going on at the moment. I remember watching a video that you pointed out to me recently. It was very interesting. And I think the guy that was narrating the video, is it Drun? Has his first name pronounced?
Drunvalo.
I think it was on his video that he mentioned something like about 46 wars going on at the moment. So whilst we over here in England, in Britain, are aware of Afghanistan and the battles that are taking place there, and of course the ongoing conflict that there is taking place in Iraq. Of course, there are lots of other conflicts going on around the world. There has been, you know, we have government, increased government, but things don't get better. You know, lots of different governments come in. One government comes in for a while. They may be in for 4, 8, 10, 12, 15 years or whatever. And then people get fed up with them and they kick them out. So the systems that we have had in place and currently have in place do not work. And there needs to be a fundamental change in if you like, human nature. So probably the best phrase I can come at the moment that would sum it up. There needs to be a fundamental change in human nature to switch from being materialistic and selfish, whether, you know, and we can class selfish as being selfish on an individual level or selfish on a family level, or if you want to broaden out, you know, it can be on a state. We can become very nationalistic and therefore selfish, thinking, you know, that our country, if you like, should have more than other people's countries. So throughout history, we have, unfortunately, evidenced lots of selfishness, mismanagement of the planet, and in our selfishness, ill treatment of each other. And nothing, you know, whilst there have been, and there are now, you know, there are lots of wonderful people out there that do their level best and they're in tune with spirit. You know, and some people, you know, got some really great people out there, maybe not really on the surface tuned in, if you like, to spirit or any particular religious belief, but nevertheless, if you like to use a popular phrase, their heart is in the right place. So there are lots of people that do this without kind of following a clear spiritual model. So whilst there are many wonderful people out there and wonderful groups doing a lot, it always seems that there is a large proportion of society that are constantly, if you like, dragging things down or not caring or not paying due attention to the cause and effect relationships between their actions. And I think the sense of the message I'm getting, and I'm glad you pointed out, Ian, at the beginning, he said something along the lines of, you know, things are not written in stone, and there is a sense that certainly I and other people are getting of a generalized sense of things. But, you know, I'm going to point out I am not infallible, you know, for a long shot. So it's a general sense that I get from spirit. And I believe they keep impressing this upon me. And it is the reason that I began to record the videos. So I sense they're telling me that we're headed for a big shock. I don't understand fully the fine detail, but my sense is it is going to be some kind of culmination of climate change. I sense that there will be conflict between major nations, and this could be, and I stress here, could be kind of an East-West thing. And it could either take the place of a real conflict or a proxy, if you like, a proxy conflict where, if you like, one nation that is, if you like, sponsored by the West comes to blows with a nation that's sponsored by some of the big Eastern powers, China or Russia or something like that. There could be a kind of proxy conflict that takes place that really heightens tensions. Now, I don't see a full-scale, you know, massive Armageddon-type war that's, you know, some people have thought may happen. But I do sense, based on what I perceive spirit is telling me, that with the culmination of all of these things, from climate change to confrontation to mismanagement of economy and a general sense of despondency in the populace, because people that, you know, people that are tuning into this program, they're already thinking about things like this. But there are lots of people out there that are fed up with the way things are, but they don't know yet what the other option could be. Do you see what I mean? They know things are bad, and they want something else to happen. And I think what's going to happen is a lot of society, you talked up, you used the phrase, I think, waking from the dream or the illusion or words to that effect. And I think what's going to happen, this big shock, is going to really reverberate around the world, and people that up until now may have been naffed off but not motivated enough to do something about things are going to become mobilized as well. And I think society as a whole is going to, you know, really understand that our actions up until now have brought us to this point, potential significant planetary disaster. You know, I was just listening actually to Radio 3 before we tuned in together. I think it was Radio 3, and they were talking. It was a guy that lives on the Orkney Islands or something. It must have been to do with music or something of that nature. And they were saying that the island that he lives on, in not many years hence, you know, talking about 100, 200 or 300 or something like that, is going to totally disappear because of rising sea levels. Now, where he lives right on the coast at the moment. So that time frame is going to be accelerated for him, because they're talking about when the tip of the island disappears. Well, if the lower part, it obviously is nearer the sea, then his home is going to likely disappear in the nearer future. And that, we know, is going to be magnified at the rate of the polar ice caps melting and things like that, with low-lying areas around the world. Major scientists are talking about this. I think we had Ban Ki-moon was just up at, was it the North Pole? North Pole recently.
There's that photo that was taken with the crying face. Did you see that?
Oh, I saw briefly, yes, a news report. It looked, yes, it looked like a face crying in one of the glacial ice.
Yes, that's right.
Things, yeah.
With water pouring down from the eyes, it looked like, you know, Mother Earth crying, really.
Gee. And, you know, it could be, its spirit can manifest in so many different ways and provide us with messages. And there is incredible power in symbolism. We understand from the work of Carl Jung how the if you like, the unconscious mind or the subconscious mind understands the language of symbol. And we know, you know, there's that phrase, a picture is worth a thousand words. And that picture, you know, has probably caught the attention of more people than some experts standing up there giving hard fact statistics. You know, they see a picture like that, and it does make people wonder, you know, is it the world crying? Is it a symbol of the world crying over what's taking place? And I think this is, you know, this is going to accelerate and culminate in a shock of sizable proportions. And that shock is the thing that I think that needs to happen for humanity to buck its ideas up and change its ways. And I think that's what spirit is allowing. It doesn't have to happen, but unfortunately, that's the way we've been living. And I think basically what spirit is almost going to save us from ourselves, but we have to wake ourselves up at the same time and become active partners in the process.
I think also it's going to be around food as well, food shortages as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
There was a wonderful documentary on recently with George Alagaya on BBC, actually, and he did a three-part series, I think. And he went around the whole world discussing about the potential food crisis that could happen. Mm-hmm. And he was just talking to people on the ground, the farmers in different parts of the world, and the criminal stuff that goes on at high levels with governments who are basically buying off land in foreign lands to feed us while their people starve over there. And at the same time, a lot of these places that used to be self-sufficient, their crops are now failing through drought. And where they used to have water table to irrigate their crops, the actual water is now disappearing, and their abundant lands are turned into deserts. So this is all having a major impact on the food market in the world, where we're not really seeing the effects of it at the moment, but very soon I feel that we're going to start seeing a big impact in food prices going through the roof. And quite recently there was a news report about I think it was tea, where lots of crops are fouled that make tea. So the tea prices will actually start shooting up. So I think what this documentary is trying to hit home for people is that people need to be self-reliant and start growing their own crops again. And, you know, why should we import a huge percentage of our food into this country? But it's like everything. It's like the oil. We've become dependent on oil in other parts of the world. We've become so global that we've become dangerously dependent on other countries for our resources, and that's including food, oil. And it's almost like this has been set up. Is it like being set up to create the most maximum havoc for
Absolutely.
Us?
Yeah, I fully agree. You know, it would be a hard challenge to get some very clever people together and get them to sit down to create the mother of all cock ups, really. And that basically is what it looks like to be on the cards to be achieved. I think you're absolutely right. I think also one of the things that validates for me the messages that I believe I receive from spirit about this. You know, I go back and test them a lot because I understand that, you know, sometimes you can, I can misinterpret something, you know. So maybe if I'm doing a reading, I might, see an animal and say, oh, I'm getting an animal coming through, and I might describe it and the colors might be slightly off or something like that. But the general gist of the message is right. So I understand that there can be differences of interpretation sometime, which is why I regularly go back and I check with spirit and say, look, you know, please make sure I am saying the right thing and that I'm perceiving the message correctly. And I believe they keep validating, yes, you know, you're getting this right. Take the message out there. That's what we want you to do. I was inspired also by some other psychics years ago, and I mentioned this in some of my early videos, that kind of helped to inspire me over the taking of a message out, even though they didn't know what that message was at the time, and neither did actually, funnily, I didn't at the time, and it, you know, things just developed over time. But the other thing I think that I find very, very helpful, and I know you know I'm very, very analytical as a person, spirit would have had an even harder job encouraging me to take this out if there wasn't the science to back this up. And that is the thing that for me helps to clinch what I believe is the veracity of the messages I'm getting. If you know, a spirit was saying, we're heading for a big shock, and everything looked hunky-dory, and all the climate scientists said everything was fine, and, you know, the economists said everything was fine, then they'd have to push me a lot harder. But the fact is, you know, as I started to get this message, it didn't take me long to, you know, start listening to the climatologists and other experts that are on the news, or they're in the, you know, the heavyweight papers, and, you know, they write books to say that this is what they're saying too. So I feel very, very sure that to one degree or another, the message I am receiving is pretty accurate. You know, it's within the scope is right. You know, if I don't have all the fine detail yet, and maybe they'll give that to me, or they give me more detail over time. I don't know, but I think because the scientists are backing this up, they're saying the same thing. And as you've rightly pointed out, there are other spiritual groups. There are other channelers that are getting similar messages. So I think spirit, if you like, is sending this message through, if you could use the old analogy of telephone switchboard, all the lines have started to light up now, and they're sending the message to all of the people with receivers to get the message out there. So I think it's important that the scientists are saying the same thing that those that channel and the mediums and, you know, the groups that we've been talking about, the Mayans and the Hopi. So I think that the combined message, and if you like this analogy of the switchboard, is kind of, if you like, spirit using every which way to send a wake-up call to humanity. So those that are interested in spiritual stuff, they're getting the message. Those that people that are only listening to cold, hard science, well, the message is there too. And I think that's what's happening now.
That's it. I mean, I know people that are not necessarily into what we're into, and they are building their own plots to grow their own food. They realise that something's up. So it's almost like we don't have to be esoterically aware, you know, like spiritual or overt into this kind of stuff. And
rightly
what you're saying there, people are waking up. And even people that I know that work in, I don't know, in a setting that's completely away from this, and they are very, I don't know, what's the word, very sceptical about anything like this, they know something's wrong in a more financial sense.
Right.
So I think you've got it from all angles, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've got those that really take into the climate, and they know something's not right. And there's some really good work that's happening at the moment with Avaz, which is a brilliant activist site that's getting people to help out in lots of causes. And then the other part of it, which is the people that I know that are not into this, but they've been impacted by it, and it's from the financial side. So
it's
not a good thing, because, you know, money will hurt a lot of people, but it's from what a lot of stuff I'm picking up from different people like yourself is that when the shock comes, it's going to touch everybody, right?
Yep.
So whether
yep.
you're a rich man, poor man, someone that just cares about the environment or whatever, it's going to come in and affect you at any level.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? And
yeah.
then everybody will be drawn into this to make a change or make a stand.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there's this kind of, there's no escape in a sense. It's coming. And as you rightly say, people, their wealth or, you know, privilege or whatever, you know, whatever part of society they're from, it's going to have an impact on them. It's a global thing. And It needs to happen in order to for society to change the way we think at a really fundamental level. And then my sense is, and I know again we've talked about this before, that this what awaits us on the other side is an incredible thing. And I think that will be a process too. You know, it's kind of one of these things that when people look back in maybe 300 or 400 years time, it'll be a kind of a paradoxical thing. It'll be a massive change, but it will also be a progressive change at the same time. There'll be suddenly like a big wake up, and then there will be an ongoing progressive change, I think, as people, you know, start to do what we can to realign the world's weather conditions. That's going to take some doing, I expect, you know, and of course there could be divine intervention and things of that nature too. But things are going to need to happen in that area. And then of course there's going to be the revisioning of our society, you know, the way society works. And as we go through the shock, there'll be the wake-up call, and then I think there will be a process as we, if you like, we revision our society to create a different society. So that will be, if you like, an ongoing process.
See, I feel also that part of the wake-up that's going to come over the next how many years, or, you know, in the very recent future, I think, will be the realisation that there is other life in the universe. And I don't know if you've been following the news reports from China, but China seems to be a country that's not suppressing UFOs.
Oh, no,
okay,
I didn't know that.
Anything like that. Okay, so basically, on July the 22nd, there was a solar eclipse that basically swept across China.
Yeah.
And basically, I believe, I mean, from what I understand, millions of people witnessed a UFO that was huge, absolutely huge in size. We're talking miles big.
Wow.
And it was captured by Chinese scientists. And the footage that they've got is so incredible because they trained high quality digital equipment filming this thing, that they're now going to take it away for an analysis and do proper professional analysis on it. That could take up to a year because they're going to do it properly, because they don't know what the hell this thing is.
Cool.
To find out what it is. And then recently, on August the 22nd, I think it was, thousands of people, you're talking, I think, like 60-odd thousand people, also witnessed huge UFOs over China that were absolutely massive. And so they were called mega UFOs.
Wow.
So where this stuff is suppressed, mainly in the American media, and it is, to some degree, is here, although it does come out into the press with a bit of a sarcastic slant to it. It does seem that someone is trying to let humanity know that there are other people watching. And because China is all eyes on the sky and they're not suppressing it, and their mainstream media is reporting this, but it's still not really being reported here.
It's not, it's incredible. I mean,
and you're talking about millions of people witnessing something huge.
And things that are miles big, that there is no way that is, you know, an American spy plane that's strayed into Chinese space or something like that. It's just not humanly possible.
You think there's millions of people looking up at the skies to witness a solar eclipse.
Yeah.
And then this thing turns up. So it wanted to be seen. So I think there's going to be lots of converging factors, like, you know, the realisation that there's perhaps other beings, or maybe a disclosure that there's other life. Maybe the 9/11 thing that happened at the same time as the collapse of the dollar. All these things seem to be converging, don't they, into something huge.
Incredible times. The other thing that I sensed that I mentioned in the recent video was a message that I felt Spirit really wanted me to bring forward in this particular video. And again, I know you've listened to it. You'll be aware that it's another one that I went back to them. I checked with them several times about, you know, exactly, am I getting this right? Do you want me to take this out? And it ties in with what you're saying, in the sense that, you know, people, you know, like the UFOs and other life forms and spiritual issues, a lot of people have kind of are not aware of the potential that there is, and, you know, the different realms of reality and things like that. And I think this has had a major impact on the way in which people have perceived Spirit or God, or what, you know, whatever term a person uses. And the sense that I got was that Spirit was saying to me that, let me put it this way. The hellfire and brimstone image that people have had of God, I think, is as inaccurate as the sickly sweet sugar candy fluffy version of God that they have, that says anything goes and it doesn't matter. You know, we can mess the environment up, we can go to war with each other, and God really doesn't care, because it's not a problem, and that, you know, that's the way it goes. And the sense I got that was that Spirit was saying to me, you know, that's not the case. Whilst Spirit is love, love also necessitates sometimes what we call tough love. And if a person or a system or a group are out of order, then sometimes some kind of action needs to be taken to stop them causing further damage. And that was kind of where I sensed they were taking me for the latest video, to get that message out. And I think, you know, and I mentioned on the video that I think there are going to be some people out there that won't like that message, because at the moment, at least my sense is that more recently in some spiritual circles, we've almost had a we've gone to the other end of the pendulum, if you like. There used to be the hellfire and brimstone god, which used to dominate particularly in, you know, Christian culture in Britain, you know, maybe 150, 200 years ago and for several hundred years. And it's almost like the pendulum swung right the way in the other direction to a fluffy kind of god that, or spirit, you know, spirit realm, that really doesn't care, because they love so much that they are, that it's almost like they give license to anything to happen. And the sense I got from spirit this time, that spirit was saying, you know, that's not the case, and those that habitually engage in negative, destructive, evil acts will find that their own negativity, their own evil, is going to kind of rebound on them. Now, some spiritual traditions talk about this. I know Wicca, for instance, it says do what you will and harm none. And they talk about if somebody practices magic or something of that nature in a malicious way, well, they better watch out, because it can rebound on them threefold. So I think some groups understand this kind of thing, that, you know, our actions do catch up with us. And there was my recollections were drawn to the fact that with I think it's about 5% of near-death experiences, or was about 95% of people, when they have a near-death experience, they have a beautiful heavenly experience where they meet their loved ones, they meet divine spiritual beings, you know, even pets on the other side that they've loved, and it's an incredible, joyous experience. But about 5%, they go to a not very nice place, and they have what's termed a hellish experience. And it's an experience that is so unpleasant that in most, if not all cases, gives them, it's almost kind of parallels with the big shock term that, you know, I've been using. It gives them a wake up call. So when they come back here, they really kind of pull their socks up, and they start to make amends for the wrong that they've done, and begin to seek to live in a more loving and compassionate way. And I get the sense that spirit is saying that, there is going to be a change in the course, if you like, the spiritual laws, if you like, that govern the world. And over recent time, because, if you like, society, and I am generalizing here, society has generally moved away from spirit. We've become more materialistic and less spiritually focused. And as a result of that, you know, we've had the wars that we've had, we've been selfish in the way that we have, and therefore, you know, evil, if you like, has had ascendancy. The message I sense I'm getting this time is that spirit is saying, well, that's about to change, and there is going to be a realigning, if you like, of the governing laws of the world, so that those who habitually engage in evil will much more often actually see a cause and effect, if you like, rebound upon themselves in this world, so that it almost serves as an example to other people that might be inclined, you know, to murder people or beat people up or rob people or whatever. They won't get away with it so much. And if the system, which is often the case, sadly, in our current world, you know, people get let out on community service, or they go inside for a short period of time, and then they come out and kill somebody, or they do something terrible. The system often lets the vulnerable down. Well, I sense that now, if you like, spirit is going to, as we come through this process of big shock and everything, another thing that's going to happen is a realigning of the cause and effect relationship between what a person does and the results of their actions, so that those that do bad will actually, if you like, get a rebound effect back upon themselves. So that was the other, if you like, probably the main message of the last video. And I really went back to them several times, and, you know, to spirit, and said, look, you know, I know when you give me these prophecies, they happen, you know, either exactly as I understand them or pretty close. But I know there are going to be people out there that are not going to like this message, because it doesn't correspond with certain groups' perceptions of what it means to be a God of love. But I believe they have come back to me, and that, you know, they have reiterated to take the message out there. So, you know, so I have. That's what the last video was about. And I followed what I believe they were telling me to do. Or, you know, encouraging me to do, rather.
Yes. I think, you know, you're right. I think being passive sometimes is more dangerous than being an aggressive activist, in a way. I guess at least you've got your voice heard, and you are making a difference. But I think some people, their spirituality beliefs paralyse them.
Yes.
And they believe that they just have to be and just love and everything will be fine and we're all one. And we are all one. And but the thing is, the way I see it is that, yes, we should strive to have unity consciousness and recognise that we are all one. And by recognising that we're all one, then I won't treat another badly. Because if I see that other as me, why would I want to hurt that other person?
Yeah.
Because that is me, so I love that person unconditionally. But if that person is doing bad things, then to sit back and allow that to happen, you know, it's like being on a train, for instance.
Yeah.
And quite often, in the daytime at least, you get a lot of unruly children or unruly adults as well, not just to pick on children.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people just sit there and let it happen for fear of being attacked or abused. And 9 times out of 10, if you do speak up, you will be verbally abused.
Yeah.
So we kind of, as a society, we've been conditioned to say nothing. And, you know, quite often people have been mugged and attacked in the presence of other people.
Yeah.
And nobody does anything about it.
Yeah.
And sadly, that's the way that society's gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I think what you said in your video was that people say that, oh, you know, that person deserved it in some way because their karma, or they were probably putting out negative thoughts, they drew it into their life. And, you know, it's very easy to be a couch a spiritual person and believe that, you know, that won't happen to me because my thoughts are pure, and
yeah,
that it must be their lesson in life, or, you know, their karma that's brought that to them. You know, that's wrong, because where's the compassion in that? Where's the unity? And I think that's where it's all gone wrong, is that unity is supposed to be that we are all one, so care for another person as you would care for your own children, in a way.
Yes. Yeah, I think you, there's a wonderful point you've made there in the essence of what you were saying, Ian, that that translate onto a global level as well, because, of course, with this big shock, whilst I sense that society, if you like, we as a society as a whole, as a, you know, a world as a whole, are going to come through the other side. Nevertheless, because unfortunately the world is the way it is now because of the collective behavior of humanity over time and currently, there are kids dying now, as we know, on the video that you guided me to. I think he's Drumbelow quoted, I think it was on that video, about 26,000 kids a day die of starvation. I think it was on one of his videos. I mean, that's a terrible number. And for them, of course, very sadly, through no fault of their own, if you like, the most vulnerable people on the planet, through no fault of their own, are dying as a result of other people's actions. So for them, this time has been the end. They have died prematurely, in many cases, an unpleasant way. Now, I remember I was watching a program about Bob Geldof, and it was talking about how he you know, really mobilized Live Aid. And I think he commented on how tragic it was to find out that years later, it was we in the West, through our carbon emissions, that probably caused that famine in the first place. So we, if you like, in one sense, it was the West that mobilized together largely to provide funds to help deal with it. But the sad thing was that it was the same people, in effect, that have caused the problem in the first place. And so many innocents suffer in this you know, unfair world in which we live now. And I think as we go through this big shock, whilst society as a whole will come through the other side, that isn't to say that nobody will be touched by the effects of it. In fact, you know, I think the opposite. I think you've rightly pointed out, to one degree or another, we all are, and that's why it's going to be a big shock, and it's going to shake us up and wake us up, you know, because, you know, when we, you know, like we in the West, we, you know, our houses are not straw huts or, you know, Watland daub or whatever, you know, that they are in some places. So when a storm hits us, you know, whilst it might knock down a few trees and, you know, a few temporary shelters might go down, most of us are okay in our houses. But in other parts of the world, of course, that's not the case. A typhoon hits them over in Asia or something like that, and, you know, thousands of houses will be devastated. So this big shock, we're, you know, at one end of the wedge of that, it's already starting. And sadly, innocent people will be affected by it. And then we will come through the other side, and I think we'll change.
Yeah. So if you think about it, most of us in this country, that, or in, you know, in the US, the United States, and Europe, we're like these spoiled kids, if you like, living in the big mansion, playing with all our toys. We don't really know what's going on in the outside world, and we just sit there, we've got dinner on the table, we think life is rosy and that there's no problems in the world. And then really, I think someone quoted a comment saying that when do you enter a depression, right? A depression is when it affects you, okay? It's when you lose your job.
Yeah.
Right. Until then, it's not really a depression, right? Now, basically, is that at the moment, this house that we're living in as spoiled children in this mansion, is that we're like kind of glued to this kind of illusion, and the TV's pumping all this stuff through to us, like X Factor, all the soaps that were on telly. You know, we're discussing gossip and about Peter Andre and Katie Price divorcing, and all, and really the news is just complete and utter gossip that just keeps us
drivel.
Just keeps us off what's going on really in the world, okay? And I think what I see happening, and I'm not claiming to be a seer or anything, I'm just going by what I see happening from all the research that I've done and what you're saying and other people are saying, is that this comfy reality that we've been so used to is going to come crashing down.
Yeah.
And then people are going to see it for what it truly is, okay? So why we've had this lap of luxury up until now. And if you think about it, okay, there's lots of really spiritual people in this country that are probably vegetarians, that are, you know, lovely and fluffy and spiritual. But the food they're eating, without realising it, has been probably been imported from somewhere like India, right? Or other countries where our governments have gone in and bought huge swaths of land, right? Because they know that there's food shortages coming. They know that they need to ensure the future of their people, like us, right, to feed us. So they'll go out to somewhere like that and buy massive pieces of land and kick all the local people off and let them starve, just so we can sit in our lovely big mansion, eating our lovely food, playing with our little toys. So as spiritual people, we also need to wake up and think, hang on a minute, where is our comfy lifestyle coming from?
Yeah.
And if we can't answer that question, then we need to really get our own house in order, I think.
I mean, the house in order, and the analogy you've drawn mainly with the Western nations, we are, if you like, the instigators of much of the problem, aren't we? You know, particularly with global warming, as you say, which is having the impact on the food. And you know, and you rightly pointed out at the beginning, our addiction to oil is largely a Western, or has been largely a Western problem. You know, we know China and India are fast catching up, but it's largely been a Western problem. And it's almost like, Ian, a form of negative self-hypnosis, in as much as we in the West, through our fixation with, you know, and I'm not knocking them as people, but Peter Andre and Jordan, there are more important things in the world. Now, I want the best for them. I want the best for everybody. But there's a lot more going on in the world that is much more important, that should really be in the news. I also think, too, that the news could also, it's starting actually, that, you know, when I watch BBC or Sky or CNN, they're starting to do it. I think the news could also help a bit more by focusing on, from a, if you like, a hypnotherapy coaching NLP perspective, what we tend to do is we'll analyze what the problem is and then focus on the solution. And I think sometimes the news sensationalizes things, doesn't it? And focus on, this is terrible, but that we could focus a bit more on solution too. And I think that would be a good balance, because when a person thinks, oh my goodness, everything's going wrong and there's no solution, well, then people, they almost give up hope, don't they? They think, oh my goodness, the world's going to end, or everything's going to be terrible, and there's nothing I can do, so why even try? Whereas, you've rightly mentioned Arbaz and other groups like this, I think they're doing the right thing, because they champion issues, and they stand up there and they say, you know, Aung San Suu Kyi, problems in Zimbabwe, these are the problems, here is a solution, you can all become involved in, sign this petition, and we will take it to President Obama, 10 Downing Street. We will let Robert Mugabe know that we're naffed off with the terrible way he's been running that country and the amount of deaths that have happened as a result of the mismanagement. So they actually stand up and they provide a means for people to mobilize. And I think, you know, that's the That's the next thing that we need to do. And I know in my own little way, on the end of my videos, I say to people, go to my website, please send me your email address, and I'll let you know when the next video comes through, and, you know, as this thing develops. And I think what needs to happen is that we, you know, those of us that are already mobilized need to create ways for more people to connect, you know, because we can interconnect networks. You know, I can send an email to you, you know, and, you know, half a dozen other people, and within who knows how many minutes, it's probably gone around the world and thousands of people have read it. And I think that's the next stage. You know, again, like you said on the train, people have become, it's psychologically, there's a principle known as learned helplessness. And learned helplessness basically is a form of conditioning. And it basically happens when a person is conditioned to believe that they can't do anything about anything. You know, you see it in large organizations. If you're not a certain pay grade, you're perceived, you know, not to have the intellectual capacity or the insight to think at a certain level. And this often, you know, translates across cultures. And I think what we need to do as a world is to break out of the illusion of learned helplessness, because every single one of us, you know, we've got email, we've got websites, we've got blogs. You don't even have to create your own blog these days. You can go on with WordPress and people like that, and they'll give you, you know, to use a phrase that a friend of mine uses, a stonking blog, and you just put your own text and your own thoughts up there, so we can all actually mobilize together now. And I think that's the critical element that is going to happen with this big shock, because at the moment we are all speaking almost as individual voices or small groups of people. And I think what's going to happen is we're going to coalesce together and begin to function more as one to shape our society. And I think it will be the networking that takes place across national boundaries and international boundaries that is actually going to start to shape the decisions that governments make, because governments are going to realize if they don't buck their ideas out, you know, people are going to say, well, we need an entirely new system. Actually, we probably do. But I think that's what's going to happen. I think we're going to mobilize, and we're going to speak as a united voice around the world, not as East or West, black or white or whatever, but as human beings. And then the governments and big business and all of these, you know, groups that don't pay the due attention that they should to those people that actually they represent will have to do so, because people will be speaking as one, I think.
That's it, and I echo that. It's like we have to be the agents of change, don't we? We have to be the people on the ground, the grassroots people,
yeah,
making the change. And then if we'll do it, I think the politicians will follow, you know, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so we've got some interesting times, haven't we, really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. You know, I know there's likely to be difficulty, but I also think that, you know, not lessening the difficulty that is likely to happen, the other side of this is going to be so glorious by comparison. And the lesson will be indelibly etched upon the hearts and minds of most of humanity, so that as humanity evolves, and as you rightly say, you know, the life that I believe there is on other planets, and then, you know, the spiritual beings that I sense are going to communicate more widely. That's happening now. I mean, so many people channel now. So many people go to spiritualist churches, you know, it's on television all the time. So this is also happening in parallel, if you like, with the move towards the big shock. There's this incredible growth and outpouring of spiritual awareness is beginning to develop more. And I believe that as we go through this, spirit is going to work more closely and more obviously with all of us, because, you know, it's almost like we've had a really close friend and we've told that friend to sling his hook or sling her hook and bog off. And that friend has said, okay, well, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. But I just want you to know I am always here for you. And sometimes, even though you've told me to bog off, I'm going to step in and help you out, because that's, you know, that's what I want to do. But as we go through this big shock, I think people are going to start saying, you know, we're a spirit. There's got to be more to existence, to life, to whatever. And people are going to reconnect in a big way with spirit. And I think, you know, spirit is then going to honour that and step back in, because it's a kind of a recent thing again, you know, in the last probably couple of hundred years, that people used to believe in the spirit realm a lot more, you know, in lots of different ways, different cultures, there's lots of different ways they believed in it. And it's only been really the last couple of hundred years that when a person says they believe in angels or spirit guides or, you know, God, that, you know, they've been looked on that they might be crazy. And I think that is changing in a big way too. Again, thank goodness.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like the new religion is to be an atheist.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, over the last couple of hundred years, isn't it?
Yeah,
and I think
absolutely.
That's what science has become, the new religion in that way.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yeah, really. Absolutely, it did. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And another false god with feet of clay, because you know science when used in an ethical way, and when used by scientists that don't think that we can become very God ourselves, that we are limited, you know, fallible human beings with great potential, but, you know, we all make mistakes, sometimes whoppers. You know, I think when scientists rebalance, and again, that's happening, you know, I read books, and I know you do too, read books by some really top-of-the-range scientists that, you know, that are arguing for intelligent design in the creation of the universe, you know, the Earth is just the right distance from the sun and the moon, and you know, for you know, all of these incredible
Goldilocks
things.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I say yeah. I don't quite know what you mean by that. So.
Oh, the Goldilocks. I think that's the term they use. All these kind of weird coincidences. You know, the distance of the moon from the Earth being the size it is, and then the moon, the distance from there to the sun. It's like all these kind of weird factors that just. It's like, how can that be a coincidence? If you look at the moon, I believe it's the same size as the sun, otherwise you wouldn't get the full eclipse.
Yeah, right. In its relative distance to us.
So,
its
size and its relative distance from the sun. Yeah. You know, all these weird factors and other things where life just wouldn't happen if one thing was different, you know.
Yeah. So I think, you know, there is so much that is so positive and incredibly inspiring, you know, and you know, modern television kind of highlighted some of the negative aspects of it. But at the same time, you know, there are incredible, like you're talking about, and, you know, thank God for the Chinese that they are actually broadcasting these pictures, because if they didn't do it, it looks like we'd never hear about it. So, you know, and through television, through the internet, suddenly, and then through this program, of course, the cascade effect, because you've watched this, it's of interest to you, it's caught your attention, so we're recording a radio program now, and then you've, you know, done the decent thing, and you've shared it with people who would maybe not have been aware of it, some of them, who can then cascade this out to their friends. So all of these advances, you know, can be used in a wonderful way too. So I think we live in a very paradoxical age. There's a lot of bad that's happening, and I think, you know, that's going to shaken up and get shaken out. And there's also a parallel time, there's an incredible amount of good that's taking place too. And I think this is, if you like, the head of steam is building up for the light to, you know, really help us burst through this big shot and come through the other side. Having learned a lesson, and with a greater understanding of our place in the universe, of the spirit realm, and of how, if we manage the world right, it can be literally a heaven on earth.
Yes. What's also interesting as well, we discussed this offline actually, was to do with the purification and how other indigenous groups through the ages have all kind of prophesied an era such as this, you know, way before they even knew what kind of society we'd be living in today.
Yeah.
I don't know, this is just a bit of a random thing I've thrown in here, by the way. There was some interesting photos that Drumvalo Melchizedek had in his book, and in that book he goes into some amazing archaeological finds from the pyramids that date probably thousands of years, even like 6,000 years, I think he said in some cases, which kind of stretches what they've been saying about the pyramids. And on the walls there was pictures of what looked like helicopters and aircraft that looked like tanks, planes and everything, right?
Cool.
And it was almost like, I think it was a timeline, or it was showing different things through the ages, and it was kind of showing, I mean, I could be completely wrong here. I'm really trying to paraphrase what I thought I read. But it was like, it's almost like a saying that there would be a time in history when humanity would go through a huge shift in some way, okay?
Yeah.
And it was like showing these graphics on the wall of the pyramids of the age that we'd be living in. And it had clearly a picture of a helicopter and a tank.
Right.
And the kind of wars that we'll be going through.
Wow.
And, you know, that was just one example. If I'm wrong on that, you know, please correct me on the comments. But these pictures were definitely showing a helicopter and a tank on the walls of these pyramids. But also with the Hopi and the Mayans, you know, they prophesied this age that we'll be going through. And they have prophecies that were handed down through the ages, through different, for the ancestors, you know, of a time called the Purification. Which was a time that we're apparently now moving into, where it would be like a time where everything will be revealed, like a revealing. And I think you mentioned this also. I think you made an analogy of the word apocalypse.
Yes.
To do with
revelation,
So it's like a revealing, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
So, you know, they were saying there'll be a time of revealing where, you know, all these truths of the ages will come out. There'll be times of chaos, you know, as the whole paradigm breaks down. But out of that will be born a wonderful world.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like the birth pains we have to go through in order to come out the other side into something much more beautiful.
Yeah, and it's a promising message. And, you know, as you said, so many cultures, and I understand it's slightly, you know, sometimes different, they maybe say it in slightly different ways, you know, depending upon, you know, like the prophet or the seer or however the message was received and perceived at that time. But generally speaking, you know, I've noticed too, and I know loads of other people have, that when you look at, and you've pointed out the Hopis and the Mayans, you know, the Bible, for instance, I remember back in, you know, years past when I was a member of a Christian church, the minister's talking about kind of similar to what you just said, but they were talking about the book of Revelation, how St. John talks about how these, it talks about locusts. And he said, you know, somebody that had never seen a helicopter, if they were trying to describe these big things that are flying through the air, bringing destruction, you know, what in the animal world would look, you know, most like that kind of thing that they could describe, and, you know, in a kind of symbolic form. So there are kind of potential symbolic examples in other cultures too, but they all do seem to, I say all, you know, those that I'm aware of, all do seem to point to the fact that after this time of trouble, there is this glorious, this time on the other side. And I think, unfortunately, that's part of the problem for the West, the Western world, paying heed to this kind of thing, is the older, the once bitten, twice shy thing, because some religious groups have got themselves tied up in knots in trying to predict, you know, the exact date of Jesus Christ's return or some prophetic event, and they've got it wrong. And then that's made people, you know, some people think, oh, well, this is all just a load of mumbo jumbo.
But they're waiting for someone to come and save them, aren't they?
Absolutely, yes, yeah. And when that's happened, unfortunately, you know, some people thought, well, I won't bother with that again because they were wrong. Whereas in actual fact, you know, yeah, maybe they were in the exact date, but as a generalization, you know, when you look at the, particularly, you know, we've got the blessing of modern science now and seeing the actual effects of, you know, climate change and, you know, the Second World War wasn't that long ago. So we perhaps are in a different position to some of these people in that it is more likely that we are living at the end of an age because, you know, just all the signs indicate that. But they do all seem to say that, yep, you know, we get the other side of this and, it leads us to something better and something glorious. And I think, and I know you do too, that it's important that people, you know, hold on to that part of the message, because that's the big, if you like, the crux of the message, that when we go through this, it's going to be glorious, and we become co-creators in creating this new glorious society and revisioned and re-engineered world, you know, more natural world.
Yeah. So in a way, it's like, rather than Christ returning, you know, manifesting as a human being, it's like the age we're living in is the return of Christ consciousness. So we all live in that way. We all take on those characteristics. Do you see what I mean? So it's like, I don't know, why have one philosopher, medium, activist, spiritual person when you can have millions all working the same way? It's got to be a lot better, isn't it? You can't, I suppose you can't put millions of people on a pedestal, can you? And then hope that that person does all the work and they just sit around. You know, I don't mean to be like that in a detrimental way.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah. You know, everybody has to be involved. Yeah. And I think, I mean, it was just funny as I was driving, I think it was yesterday, I was remembering, I think in it's the Genesis, it says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And so there is this sense that this emanation from God or Spirit, you know, whatever we want to call the Creator, there is this emanation and again, so many different cultures teach that we can tune in to this creative force, you know, make it one with us, you know, which is basically what channeling is, isn't it? It's tuning into a divine being, and that being, you know, channels information through us, and it can be different levels of, you know, evolution of that being, but it's basically that kind of process. So I think that, you know, what you're saying about this Christ consciousness manifesting throughout humanity, I think is a useful and apt term to use, because I think that's what it is about. It is an evolution of consciousness. You know, again, I know some people that haven't had a Bible background, that was kind of mine, so some of these phrases come to mind. But it does say in I think it's the book of Joel, it says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit, and your old men shall, again, it's not going to be an exact quote, but your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall dream visions. And, you know, so basically what it's saying, your old men shall have visions, sorry, there will be visions, things like that. So basically what it's saying is this spirit that perhaps in the past manifested almost exclusively through certain prophets and seers and things like that, because that's the way things were done then. On the other side of this watershed moment, this ability, this connection, this closeness is going to be commonplace. That's what it's saying, if you like, in the language of the archaic language of the time. So I think, you know, the terminology you use, Christ consciousness, if you like, flowing across the world and, you know, being what people are living in, I think is a really good description.
Yeah, because I'm at the belief that we become in tune with our own spirit. Do you see what I mean? Like, we've got a higher self, and we are already a beautiful spirit, and all we need to do is just manifest that into us. Do you know what I mean? So rather than being this physical ego, is to try and bring in as much of our higher self, and have integrity, have compassion, you know, just be a loving person that does the right thing, you know, be the change they want to see in the world. You know, I think that's what Jesus did, isn't he? I mean, he was fed up with the money changers, which is no different from the bankers and the elite today, really. Yeah. And, you know, we don't want to sit there and just let them get away with it. No. So we have to do our bit, and I think we have to do it in a peaceful way. I think sometimes if you create violence and maybe people like to protest in an aggressive way, I think that plays into the hands of the very people that are trying to bring in more legislation to control people. So, you know, this is where the Gandhi thing is really important, that, you know, it's a peaceful, it's a non-compliance kind of activism in a way, and spreading the word.
Yeah, very, very powerful stuff. Very powerful, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, we're now on the top of the hour. Is there anything that you'd like to close with?
Well, in anticipation that you know, you might ask something like that, I kind of tuned into to Spirit just before the program, and it was kind of short message this time, and it was basically to invite people to listen to the message. And it was that, so that's what I believe they gave to me beforehand, so I share it with you and the listeners now.
And that's such a really important message, isn't it? Yeah. So, you know, take it away with you. You know, just pass this message around to anybody who you feel could benefit from it. We do live unfortunately, in an age where we have to be very careful who we pass messages to, because some people are not quite ready to listen but I guess that'll get easier as time goes by. You know, we are kind of hopefully shining the way for others to follow it much easier. It can be a very arduous road sometimes, can't it?
It can be, yeah.
It can be.
We're kind of like, you know, we and the listeners and lots of other people out there, it's kind of like we're the vanguard, I think, and lots more people are going to pick up on the message and kind of join together with us.
Okay. And on that note, if you want to find out more about Kerin's work, you can also visit his website, which is www.hypnoticprophet.com. You're also on MySpace, is that correct, Kerin? And you have social network sites, aren't you? Do you want to read those out?
Yeah, MySpace, obviously the Spirit Guide, and Facebook are the three main ones that I'm on now. I mean, anybody, if they type my name into Facebook, and they want to add me to the friends list, then they can do that. If they go to MySpace, I've got MySpace is the medium, excuse the pun, through which I make most of the videos available. So if they go there, they're on my Hypnotic Prophet website, but they'll also find all of the videos on the MySpace website too. And there's there's the embed code and the links there. If people want to, you know, embed them anywhere, they can do that too.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much for coming on again, Kerin. It's been a wonderful show, and it's a very good message, and I think people will really honour it and follow it and hopefully pass it on.
Thank you very much indeed, Ian, and I very much appreciate, again, you giving me the opportunity to be on the show with you. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, God bless.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
Bye.